This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Welcome into the whole show powered by Chevron. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Glad you could be with us here. I'm Brady Hull. We got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. All right, man. We had texters asking last night. When is this show, Mike? 11 to 2, is that right? Monday through Friday?
11 to 2 a.m.
Yeah, well, 2 p.m.
2 a.m.
Okay. It's going to be one of those. All right.
It's going to be competitive.
The UNC Bears win, or not win. I feel like it's a moral victory. It felt like a moral victory. I know Coach Smiley is going to take offense to that because they expected to go win that game. And they were there. There were plenty of opportunities. Texas Tech, that's a really good basketball team, Michael. The UNC Bears coming into this game are doing it without their best player, who's been their best player this year, Quinn Danker. This game was tied up at 72 at the 11:37 mark left in this game, 72. And then Texas Tech kind of did what they would pull away, make it like a 10-point game, 7-point game, 8-point game, whatever. And the Bears just kept climbing back. They got this thing to late in the game, under 5 minutes left. It was 89-71, and then you had a situation where it was 93-88. It was looking like, okay, the Bears are right there. You get down to it, man. So 93-88 with 2:48 left. That was kind of when Texas Tech started to pull away. But you were in this game realistically, with a realistic chance to win, with about 2.5-3 minutes left in the game. This I'm telling you guys, this basketball team, this might be, they might not have like the one star that's going to go on and go to Tennessee or USC or whatever. They have a bunch of really good players, though. And that game last night was a true testament to that. And how about my guy, Brock freaking Wisney? Brock Wisney, of course, we got his own show here. The Brock Wisney Show typically airs Monday. They were in Texas Monday, so we're going to talk to Brock tomorrow. He'll join us. He had a career high, 29 points. He was 13 of 21. He added 5 assists and 5 boards. He scored at all 3 levels. He was on a different planet. Brock Wisney's a sensational basketball player. I voted for him. I got to vote in the Big Sky Conference Player of the Year thing. I voted for Brock Wisney. That's why. He's capable of these kind of games. And Texas Tech, that's a pretty gritty football team. Or football team, basketball team. I've got playoffs on my mind. This is a team that, you know, Wyoming scored 72 against them. Wyoming's a good basketball team. Purdue scored 86 when they beat them. Purdue beat them, but they scored 86 and it's kind of smoked them. They gave up 83 to Wake Forest. They gave up 77 to Sam Houston, 81 to Illinois. The Bears put up 90 points against this team. Pretty damn good. I think you got to be very excited that, you know, this is a team that averages about defensively giving up 74 points per game, and the Bears put up 90. What does it mean? It means the Bears are really good. It still just comes down to whether or not they can win the Big Sky Conference tournament. That's what it means. You can have fun with the season. You can talk about this being one of the greatest teams we've ever seen for the UNC Bears, but it all comes down to what they do in March in that tournament. If you lose in the first round, all of it's for naught, it seems like. Now, it's not, but it is, kind of, in the same breath. Aaron texting in on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It seemed Texas was getting some real ticky-tack calls after the Bears had it tied at 72. There were some I wasn't crazy about. I mean, but it's I try not to get too crazy in that world. And I got an NBA story about the Nuggets-Rockets game, too, that I'm going to hit in the top stories of the day, going back to that game a couple nights ago. It did seem like there were a couple of bad foul calls there, a couple of odd Brock Wisney that I didn't like. But this game, Mike, I want to give shout-outs. We're giving shout-outs, too, man. We're giving attaboys out to the UNC Bears. And number one attaboy here is Brock Wisney with those 29 points. Guy was, 2 for 6 from the three-point line. He only went to the free throw line twice, and he still puts out 29 points. He's making threes, there was one, last-second shot clock, little fadeaway. He was good. Another one I'm going to give to, how about Vincent Delano? Delano. He was the backup point guard. He's now starting point guard for Quentin Danker, who was out. 16 points for him. Played a really solid game. Only 2 turnovers. So I want to give a shout out there. And then, of course, the attaboy, Zach Block. Played 39 minutes in this game. They were leaning on him heavily. He had 17 points, but 4 from 6 from the three-point line. If you watched a lot of UNC over the last few years, you knew that Zach Block was a great defensive player, but you didn't know about his offense. And fortunately for me, I get to sit down with their head coach, Steve Smiley, every week on the Two Man Game podcast, and he told me, we're going to open up that kid's offense this year. So get ready, because he is that good. We just had a lot of other weapons that we've utilized the last few years where we could really have Zach hone in defensively. Now we're going to have him do both, and he's going to shock a lot of people that don't know about his offensive skill set. Guy can, he's hitting 3. He hit a 3 last night when it felt like Texas Tech was pulling away. He hit a 3, hand in his face. These are NBA 3s, by the way. These are what typical NBA guys do, Mike, when you talk about bad defense. Players like Zach Block can still hit shots even when there's hands in their face. You don't see that all the time at the college level. They need open shots. Zach hits one with a hand in his face, and he gets fouled. He gets the 4-point play. I was really impressed. Had texters yesterday asking if they were going to cover 25.5. You said no, I want to say. I hemmed and hawed about it. I didn't commit. You said no. I just want that to be clear. You said no.
Yeah, I did, but I knew Wisney was listening. And I knew he'd tell his teammates, and they'd say, Micah, this legitimate sports fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I take credit for all the win.
Okay. I'm impressed with this team. Like, I was already impressed with this team. Has lost twice. They lost one game at the beyond half court buzzer beater, and they lost to, at the time, top ranked number 19 Texas Tech. That is, they lose by 11 when they're 25.5 point dogs, at least according to what we saw yesterday during the show. What does it all mean? That's what's frustrating. That this potentially could be the best team the Bears have had. They have some really big tests coming up still to round out the non-conference schedule. They got a DU team that did beat CSU, who I also think is an incredible basketball team. They can shoot the 3. Like, crazy good shooting the 3. So DU is not going to be an easy one. They will play them on, what is today, the Wednesday? So Saturday. They will play them Saturday at 1 o'clock here in Greeley. And then they go to Boulder next week, late next week after Christmas, December 28th, that'll be a 1 o'clock game as well. Both these games on ESPN Plus, by the way. And then you start up conference play. And don't let the non-con schedule deceive you, because it can. UNC's 9-2. That's the best record in the Big Sky Conference, but none of that matters until you actually get into conference play. And we're going to find out, like, who are these really good basketball teams? Portland State, 6-3. Idaho State, 6-5. Montana, the arch nemesis when it comes to basketball for the Bears, are 6-5. But you got to look at every one of their schedules. You can't just look at UNC's and go, oh, 9-2. Well, they're by far better than anybody in the Big Sky. Eastern Washington has had some close games. I think they had a close game against CU at the beginning of the season, and we know how good CU's turning out to be. I think CU plays Portland State coming up, right? Yeah, tonight, 7 o'clock. That could be an interesting game. The Buffs are maybe not. Buffs are favored by 16.5. But then again, Texas Tech was favored by 25, 26, depending on what you were looking at. And the Bears obviously covered that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from the last 24 hours, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good, a lot of good things from the Bears game, but I'm going with Brock Wisney because I got to do it, Mike. I got to do it. Brock's not going to give himself player of the game. He's not going to. Guarantee it. That's a prediction. He will not do it tomorrow when he's on the show. Brock is a sensational guy. It's an honor to do the show with him. One of my favorite player guest weekly things we've done since we've been doing it the last few years. Of course, Big Hub's up on that list, too, if he's listening. He and I are still, like, tight. Still good friends to this day. The bad for me, Brandon Jones, Mike. Out for the season. Could play in the playoffs, but out for the regular season. So now you're going to look at PJ Locke, or do you call? Do you call your boy? Your old boy?
PJ.
Justin Simmons? Do you call him?
As a backup, but PJ Locke's your guy.
He's not doing anything. He's probably been staying. He's still following the Broncos. I'm sure he's been staying fit and in shape.
He was disappointed when the Broncos did not re-sign him.
That'd be cool, though. But is it the right move?
I mean,
PJ Locke. That's the right move. It's a fun story, but it's like Von
Miller.
The
right move would be to sign him as a backup. PJ Locke is your guy.
PJ Locke's your guy, and then you ride it out. You got three games. He could return. I think I saw he could return like second round of the playoffs. So get that first round bye.
Which they will get.
And then, we'll see. Jacksonville's going to be tough out. Tough out. I'm going to get into some Jacksonville talk a little bit later on. Big Hus says, I'm listening. Yeah, you're my boy. You're my guy. Big Hub started it. He was my very first guy that we did the player interviews with. And now he listens, and he's in the media world. Big Hub, come on. I got to take... Yeah, give me some credit for that, right? I got David Roddy drafted in the first round. Didn't I? I got Neat Clifford drafted in the first round. I got Isaiah in the league. I got Scott Patch in a tryout with the Colts. You know?
I got him his girlfriend.
You got him his girlfriend?
Yeah, I'm the reason they're dating.
Maybe you should try to get your own girlfriend. The ugly for me is the the Eric Gibson Jr. story.
I was going to say something, but I was like, no, I better not.
You better not. If you're doubting it, don't say
it. I'm working on the filter.
Yeah, you've been doing a super job of that. Like, really good.
You have no idea how great of a job I've been doing, actually.
The Eric Gibson Jr. story. Eric Gibson Jr. was the quarterback that took over at quarterback once Peter Castelli went down for the UNC Bears, and he had a pretty good season. Ed Lamb really, we went into detail on this in Football 52. Is that going to come out at noon, Mike, or were you too busy putting together, the Enterprise Lego set back there?
Well, first of all, that hasn't come in yet.
Oh, okay.
That'll
Sorry.
Be after
Didn't
Christmas.
See that on the magazine. Okay.
I missed the first round of orders, so I had to go second round. My bad, I procrastinated.
Oh, so what time will it be out? We don't know.
Between 11 and 2.
Okay.
11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Call back.
Yes. Faith says, love how the first moments of the show dictate how the day will be. Like, what kind of mood are you going to be in? Are you going to go with me on sports topics, and are we going to have a good educational conversation that it's riveting for listeners, or are we going to derail with stupid comments and whatever it was you watched on Cartoon Network last night?
Well, now I'm just going to go with stupid comments and whatever I watched on Cartoon Network last night, which I did not watch anything on Cartoon Network last night. So we're just going to talk about nothing. We're going to be Seinfeld.
Oh, we're going to be a terrible sitcom?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's be a terrible sitcom.
At least we're not Everybody Loves Raymond.
Eric Gibson Jr. absolutely got screwed by the NCAA. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why this system is jacked. And you know who got away with it? Scot-free. Like they do everything? LSU. This is what's wrong with your football elitist and attitude and mentality. If LSU does it, and it's against a UNC type of school, it doesn't matter. Doesn't do anything. I'm going to tell you the story coming up next. Eric Gibson Jr. absolutely gets screwed by the NCAA. I'll tell you the story next.
For Avalanche games and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Stop by, fellas, ladies, and go. You're doing Christmas shopping in all over town. Like, I'm on the roads. I see it at night. My goodness, we go out. Everybody's doing it. Make a visit to Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. They got Legos. They got sports cards. They got sports memorabilia. They got Funko Pops. They got it all. And Pokemon, too. So you got fans. There's probably some of you that are listening, and you got a lot of the little nerds running around, which is cool, because I'm a nerd, too. I like that stuff. Collectibles, yes. There's sports nerds. There's your kind of nerds. Those are people, too. Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Check them out today. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. Okay, so I'm guessing it was Ed Orgeron who was on the coaching, who was the head coach around the time Eric Gibson Jr. would have been invited to LSU. I don't know the ins and outs of who was telling him what, but my brain went to, I'm hearing Ed Orgeron doing the podcast, and I love it. They're great. They're open. They're honest, and it's basically how flawed the system is and how they're taking advantage of the system. Here's one that really sucks. Eric Gibson Jr., quarterback for the UNC Bears, took over when Peter Castelli went down. He started 11 of 12 games. He had one of the most accomplished passing seasons in Northern Colorado's Division I history. He had 2,500 passing yards, 10th in single-season passing yards in program history, while his 357 passing attempts ranked 7th all-time. He had 11 passing touchdowns. He was good. He stepped up in a big way. So we thought maybe he was going to have a year left of eligibility. But there was one problem, and Ed Lamb lays this out beautifully in the latest edition of Football 52, our podcast that we do every week. And basically the appeal was denied. Eric Gibson Jr. has no more years left of eligibility at the D1 ranks. He can play D2. So here's what happened. Why was it appealed in the first place? LSU reached out to Eric Gibson They put him on their track chart, like we are tracking him for a preferred walk-on situation here at LSU. We're telling him that he's going to be able to come to LSU and be a part of the team, be a depth guy, but he will get to say that he is a LSU Tiger. He's going to get to say that. He did that for a year. He enrolls in classes. He shows up. Problem is, Mike, they do this with like 30, 40, 50 guys. They throw it out there. Throw it against the wall, see what sticks. Bunch of them stuck. Showed up, and suddenly there's no room for Eric Gibson Jr. Already enrolled at LSU. Now, for some wacky reason, since he was listed as from LSU as like a guy they were tracking and wanting as a preferred walk-on, and he enrolled at LSU. He went to class that year, that semester, which would have been this fall of 2021, I believe. He didn't go on the field once. He was not in team meetings. He did not get emails from the team on what to do. Or he was not on the football team. Yet he was brought there to be a part of the football team and enrolled, hoping that at some point he would get called and get to actually go out on the field and play, like practice, be a part of the team. He was never an LSU Tiger.
It sounds like you promising me a job, me moving to Greeley.
Yeah, exactly. And then I say, oh, sorry, the job's been filled.
Yeah.
But I'm here and I bought a house. It's not my problem.
I show up every day and I'm in the office and I'm...
No, not even that. He wasn't allowed to show up at the office.
Even allowed to show up at the office?
He's not going to the field. He's just going to class.
But I was... It was like I was telling people, hey, I work for KFKA, but I wasn't even allowed to be an intern?
No.
So I was paying money to come to Greeley to work for KFKA.
Yep, the job's
been filled. KFKA was like, oh, Micah's preferred.
We threw out a bunch of Micah's. We threw out a bunch of, hey, we got 20 resumes here. Let's tell them all we're going to hire them. And then they'll move here. And then we get our pick of the litter. And then we say, sorry, Mike. The job has been filled, but you told me I had the job. Yeah, we tell you a lot of things.
Sounds like a lawsuit.
Hell, they appealed it. LSU's athletic director, Verge Osberry? Actually, so Ed Lamb had great things to say about this athletic director. And Verge wrote out like an email to the NCAA, saying, hey, here's what went down. We have the proof that they invited Eric Gibson Jr. to come here and be on the team. Okay, we have proof. Here's the emails, here's the chain, here's the text messages, all that. And yet, didn't actually get to put on a uniform. Didn't put on cleats and run around on the football field. But he was at school here. Obviously, Gibson left after the fall semester and is done. But that fall semester, Michael, counted as a year of eligibility. UNC argued that it shouldn't, which it shouldn't. They appealed. They were confident they were going to win, especially when Osberry writes a personal letter to the NCAA on UNC and Eric Gibson Jr.'s behalf saying, hey, man, they invited him here. They bait and switched him. He was never on the team. He thought he was going to be. Why is this counting? If you even go to UNC's website, it says played at LSU 21 through 22. Everyone's confused by it. I was very confused by this, so that's why I asked Ed several times. I said, so wait, let me be clear. He was told he was going to be there, or he was going to be on the team. He wasn't on the team, but he was still going to classes at LSU? Yes. And that counted as a year of eligibility. Now, a preferred walk-on, Mike, he's not getting any kind of scholarship, right? He's paying for that out of pocket, isn't he? So, NCAA comes back. appeal denied. He does not fit the criteria to gain another year of eligibility, is what the NCAA tells UNC. In Ed Lamb's words on the podcast, shame on the NCAA.
A good lawyer could win against the NCAA.
Who's affording it? Can UNC afford it?
I don't know if UNC can afford it.
They can't.
But like, if a good lawyer wants to get some money,
yeah,
do some work ahead of time.
I would. Yeah, if there's a lawyer out there, take that up. I would. So the next step for Eric, okay, but he still has a year of eligibility to play at D2, and he's going to go do that. So good for him. They were so confident, the UNC was. And now, again, they weren't so confident that they were making bad decisions. Ed Lamb made it clear to Peter Castelli and Caden Box, two quarterbacks on this team, obviously, on the depth chart, high on the depth chart. Hey, guys, assuming this all works out, I want to be transparent with you. Eric Gibson Jr. will be the quarterback penciled in at this point, assuming this clears. Well, Castelli and Caden Box, for whatever reason they entered the portal, but I'm just creating my own little image of how this went. If I'm Castelli and I'm Caden Box, I'm going, the story sounds bogus. They're going to clear him. He's going to get a year. And I want to go somewhere else and try to battle for a starting job. So I'm going to enter the portal on January 2nd. So both of those quarterbacks entered the portal. So at the end of all this, on December 17th, you're out Eric Gibson Jr. because the NCAA won't allow it. You're out Peter Castelli because he's already entered the portal, and or he's going to. He's already announced it. And Ed views that as you're entering it. And we all know Ed's rules on that. You can do the same thing as Carver Cheeks. You want to come back as a walk-on? And then Caden Box. Three guys that we've talked about a lot on the podcast that, you know, Castelli obviously was a starter. Gibson was a starter. Caden Box was getting a lot of talk about he was a really good high school football player. Maybe he'll get a shot someday. So now you're out three quarterbacks because the NCAA screwed over the UNC Bears and Eric Gibson Jr. I asked Ed, I said, wait, to me it sounds like LSU was in the wrong, right? LSU was in the wrong for telling him to come here, not giving him any kind of a shot. Because Ed was pissed on the podcast, and he's like, they didn't even give him a day. They didn't give him one day to come out and throw the ball around. They didn't even give him a day. So they got him there, and then he didn't get a day. That's like but it's about the student athletes. It's pure. Oh, but you get this guy there, uproots his whole life, goes to LSU, and you don't give him a day. And now you screwed him out of potentially having a season with UNC, if the turnaround is legit, that could really gain him something. Whether that's continuing to play, I'm not talking NFL, but you know what I mean. Or just like, hey, you were a hell of a quarterback for the Bears for 2 years, man. Now you got a job. Now you got all this other stuff. And he's a smart guy, so he's got a bright future. But the NCAA basically says, we don't want to set a bad precedent. We don't want to set a precedent of LSUs of the world inviting 50 to 100 kids coming here and basically going, well, yeah, but all the other guys we wanted showed up too. So we don't need you guys. See you later. And you'll be good. You can just go appeal and you can get your year back of eligibility, even though you still technically wasted that year. They don't want to set the precedent that you can do that, that it's okay. But by not appealing this, they said it was okay. They don't want to basically, they don't want to give people like Eric Gibson Jr. a chance to say, okay, well, we went to LSU, turns out they didn't have a spot. Do I get my year of eligibility back? They're basically saying, we don't want that to be the norm, where you just go try it, and then if you get out there, great. But if you don't worry, you get your year of eligibility back. So they don't want to set a bad precedent. So that's why. So I asked, does LSU get in trouble for this at all? No. So who gets punished for something? Who gets punished for something that LSU, what they did was frowned upon at the very least? Who gets punished for that? The student athlete, which is what the NCAA is all about representing. Yes, Michael.
So anyone who's against the NIL, just let them know, just tell them the story. Tell them the story. This is why the NIL is fair. This is why it's fair, because student athletes, they deserve to make money because they're getting screwed.
I don't know how that pertains to this particular story.
Well, I'm just because
he didn't get any money
colleges,
to go there.
A lot of colleges are going to screw over guys like this. So,
well, yeah, they, yeah, that's okay.
Get money where you can.
I get your point. Yeah, I get your point. They should be going for the education. He didn't want to go to LSU. Like, I don't know that. I shouldn't say that out loud. I don't know that he didn't want to go to LSU. It's a big school. Would have been cool to go there, right? But he obviously left after the first semester. So he's like, no, I came here to try to play football. Not that he was going to play, but it'd still be pretty badass, Mike, to walk away and say, yeah, I was a quarterback for LSU. Oh, did you start? No, I was just on the roster. Still more than you and me and most of our listeners. So it would have been really cool. So he goes there with the hopes of that happening. Doesn't even get a day. And LSU's told, slap of the hand, don't do that. And don't try to fight for players getting eligibility after the fact either. If you're going to invite players, make sure you either give them a spot on the roster or don't come bitching to us if the schools they go to are fighting for them to have another year of eligibility. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. And you mean to tell me the NCAA, you mean to tell me that this was a pure game? What? No, this stuff's been going on forever. And Ed Orgeron, like, I like him. But a lot of people are out, oh man, I love how we give the money out the front door instead of the back door. And everybody like me, we're all like, ha, 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 man, he's so funny. He's being honest. You're screwing people. You're part of that too. Because Ed Orgeron wants a quarterback. Now, he had a quarterback, 2021. Who would that have been? He had guys. But he's part of that regime. He's part of the wheel where he's like, throw it out there. Bring them here. Bring these players here. And we try to pretend. This is why when we hear coaches, and I think some coaches truly do care about their players. I do. But when I hear every coach, oh, I care about them as men. I care about them going on being men. You know, I'm doing like my Gundy thing. Going on out there being men. That's what we care about more than anything. Is these guys being great contributors to society. Yeah, until they can't contribute to your football team. Like, you care about them being all these great leaders until they can't contribute. This dude, I'm sorry, I'm passionate about this. You screwed over a community here. But because they're not part of your uppity, way up there, Power 4 programs, Derbs and I were talking about this. If this would have been Alabama versus LSU, and Alabama's the one saying, wait a second, our guy went there, he was told to go there, and then didn't get a play, didn't get to do anything, and you're wasting a year of eligibility? No. That ain't going to fly, NCAA. Fix it. Don't make me get Saban. Eastside Chris. This story has Detective Star Reporter Tanner written all over it. I don't even think Tanner knows what an LSU is. Faith, sorry, you mentioned Castelli. Would Castelli have declared to enter the transfer portal if he didn't think Gibson was staying? To my knowledge, no. If he was told he was going to be the starter and or that Gibson's not coming back, I don't believe Castelli. That's nothing I've heard from Castelli. These are just based on reading between the lines of my conversations with Ed Lamb. Aaron says, I know it's all about the money, and that's why it'll never change. But group of six and the FCS should form an alliance and no longer play Power 4 schools who clearly think they're better than everybody else and quit giving them the opportunity for an easy win. Well, funny you mention that. You talk about teams, they better increase their schedules. The SEC, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, and the ACC, Mike, have come out and said, according to Brett McMurphy, they announced in 2026 they will require their teams to play 10 power conference games, 9 league games, plus 1 non-league Power 4 game. So now they're only allowing them to play, the ACC, Big 12, and SEC are only going to be able to play 1 non-league Power 4 school. The rest will all be Power 4. So this puts another little wrinkle in your idea of, hey, group of five, make your schedules tougher. Just got more complicated. Although the Big Ten has been crickets on this. They are not doing that. They're not willing to do that yet.
Yeah, because not all of the Big Ten was doing that before. I mean, some of them were. Yeah. Ohio State was, but one of my criticisms of Washington was that they would play a weak schedule very early on. But that if I was fixing it, one of the things I would do is I would allow for the first 3 weeks, I would do the opposite. I'd say you have to play two Danishes and one cupcake, you have to find time for your
They're not even going to get like a pure cupcake anymore. Like it's going to make you're going to have
UNC.
Yeah, they're not. ACC, Big 12, and SEC won't have UNCs anymore.
Yeah, but my solution would be to allow for them to make them schedule some of those teams.
You see how this makes it even more complicated now for G5s to schedule harder, to make a harder schedule. It makes it even more complicated. It was already complicated before. And if the Big Ten comes out and does this, it makes it very difficult.
Yeah, I think we are going to have two sets of playoffs.
Probably.
Or we're going to have a bowl and a playoffs. We're going to see now three. We're going to see FCS, FBS 1, FBS 2.
Yeah. Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, Mike. We're way well overdue here. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into the show. I don't know, maybe you're right, Aaron, all you guys. Just create our own thing. Just have the G6 now with the Pac-West. I don't know. That's tough, because that's why Jim Mora came here. That's why he came to CSU, because of the potential path to the college football playoffs. More on that coming up. We'll talk Broncos, Jags, top stories of the day. Also, Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly, joining us from the Denver Post, as he tends to do here on the program. And where's all the wind, Mike? They shut the power off at my house. Shut it off at 10, apparently.
Supposed to come this afternoon.
Really? Really? Why'd they shut the power off at 10?
Preventative?
We'll be right back.
For Nuggets, games, and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, 11:56. We got top stories of the day coming up. A couple of NBA stories, story out of Miami. And more on the future every day. Every day, Mike, the college football landscape changes. What are you laughing about? Did I say something funny? What am I, a clown to you? What are you laughing about?
I don't know what I'm laughing about. Oh. I'm really tired.
Okay.
I'm trying to wake up with this delicious Mountain Dew right here.
Yeah. You said, Chris, maybe it takes a long time for the electricity to drain from lines Boulder to Fort Collins. I don't know. I don't know. A lot of people are. It's like a really controversial thing that they shut down the power to prevent fire. I don't know, man.
Probably a good idea.
Maybe. Maybe so. Your thoughts on that? Let's hear from the Hooligans. A preemptive power outage to prevent fires. Only
Sports
you can prevent
damned.
Fires.
Let's talk about the electricity.
Sports can be electric, Mike, and that's why we talk about it. Every day, 11 to 2, top stories of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.